The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll take a break from talking about Jerry Seinfeld and talking about the New York Giants. And let's talk a little baseball with John Morosi of MLB Network. You can catch John weekdays on MLB Network's Hot Stove program at 9 a.m. Plus, check out MLB Network's All MLB Awards show live from Vegas this Thursday night at 8. John, thank you much for the time. I appreciate it, buddy. How are you?
Chris, great to be with you. Thanks so much for the invitation.
Really, of course. So what? Where are we like right now with just the level of busyness for you? I know we got a few weeks before the meetings. Like, where are we in activity just overall? How often is your phone being hit up at the moment?
Well, it's a great time. It's a busy time. I'm actually speaking to you right now from Taipei City in Taiwan, where
wow.
I'm broadcasting the Premier 12 tournament, which is I would say the tournament that is after the WBC and the Olympics, the biggest international tournament in the baseball world, because you've got a lot of the best talent that's not currently on Major League 40-man rosters involved. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to point out that 2015, Shohei Ohtani pitched in this tournament. 2019, Yoshinobu Yamamoto pitched in this tournament. So you get a lot of the up-and-coming talent that you get a chance to talk about. So really excited to see what happens. I actually have a game that I'm doing later on today here in Taipei between Korea and Chinese Taipei. But so right now, half of my brain is that.
Wow.
And half of my brain is Juan Soto and where Max Fried will go and where Corbin Burns will go.
Right.
So it's busy, but I still think in a lot of ways, Chris, it's just setting the stage in the sense that I don't think we're going to see Juan Soto sign in the next 24 hours. It's a much more gradual start to free agency in this sport in comparison to basketball or hockey.
Well, let's get to Juan Soto then, obviously, because and you're leading kind of into my question. That's kind of why I asked you too, also, because I'm curious, especially with these two teams here in New York that are both going to be obviously after Juan Soto. He's already played for the Yankees. They're going to be two of the many teams, and I'll ask you about that as well. But just as far as timing, because there's a thought of the plan B being so important. If you miss out on Juan Soto, the plan B. Would you anticipate, and we've heard multiple things, you know, Scott Boras says it's going to take some time. We've heard some reports you could expect it before the winter meetings. When do we expect this to be signed? And the teams have to be mindful, because in my mind, some of the other top free agents, don't you think they're waiting for that big number to post? So, like, how long do you think Soto will take? And then the, like, counter to that is, you wouldn't expect some of the bigger names to go off until Juan Soto goes, right? That should be the signing that kicks off this busy season, right?
Correct. Okay. I do think that what I would say, Chris, is there are certain players of that caliber that will almost certainly wait. And I would put Anthony Santander into that category.
Right.
I think Santander's profile, obviously he's not Juan Soto,
right,
but he has enough attributes in common with Soto in terms of position and profile to where Santander is a natural fallback for those that don't get Soto. Christian Walker, to an extent, for example, I would say the Yankees have a higher level of interest in Walker if they don't have Soto than if they do.
Mm-hmm.
You would put Willy Adames potentially in the same category, even though he's a shortstop and Soto's a right fielder. It's a matter of reallocating your money. If let's say the Mets sign Soto, the Yankees, they wouldn't just pivot, or they, at least they shouldn't just pivot and get Santander, period. It would be Santander plus Adamas, or maybe it's Christian Walker plus Adamas, and they make some different moves. So I do think there's a certain level of player that is contingent on Soto, although I look at someone like the Teoscar Hernandez, who really proved himself on the big stage in October. I don't think Teoscar has to wait, because it's a shorter-term deal, whereas Soto's deal might be 10 years, 12 years, something astronomical. It's not going to be that for Teoscar, and so I could see a team, if the Dodgers get the sense that Soto is not going to go to them, then maybe they pivot and more aggressively look to bring back someone who just helped them win the World Series last month.
Right, yeah. So there are, I could see that. There are a couple of guys who would, but I would think, to your point, especially Santander, who is, the, as you said, the next, you know, hit 44 home runs this year. I mean, had that great breakout year for that Baltimore team. He would be someone who would wait for that big number. And, I mean, I guess rumors that, or word is that he's going to meet with a bunch of teams, starting with Toronto. Do you subscribe to what many of us here in New York City, and the bias of being here in New York City, that there are, sure, other teams involved, but we expect the two New York teams to be the premier teams that he's choosing from here in the Juan Soto sweepstakes?
I agree with you, Chris, that is how I see it as well. I think that at the end of the day, at this time of year, when you think about a big-time free agent like Soto, go back to the fundamentals, which tells us that Soto loves the big market and the big stage. He's shown that he loves playing in New York. The two New York teams have incredible resources, and while it's conceivable that someone could outbid them, I tend to think that Steve Cohen will be in there and willing to spend a dollar more than anybody else.
Right.
And the Yankees, they may have a point at which they are not comfortable going over, but the universe of outcomes where he chooses to be a Blue Jay over being a Met or a Yankee, is it possible? Sure, it's possible, but I don't think it's likely. I think that the in the range of outcomes, the Mets and the Yankees, to me, account for an overwhelming majority of the percentage of likelihood of where he's going to wind up for 2025 and beyond.
Right. And do we think the number gets to do we think that Juan Soto takes pride or has interest in beating the number of Shohei Ohtani? Is that something? Is he looking for that? Because that's my question when we talk about his contract, whether it's $600 million, $700 million, what he wants. You know, we talk about every year you want to set the market, you want to be the guy in free agency. He's already turned down $400 million. Do you think that the Ohtani contract has anything to do, because it's so unique with the amount of money that's been deferred, his ability to both pitch and hit? Like, we get it, it's a unique contract, only 10 years, $700 million. But is that magic number that was posted last year of $700, whether he gets it or not, something in Juan Soto's mind in hitting free agency?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
I believe it is. Now, but there are two different ways to look at it, Chris, when you consider what that contract is. And there's the $700 million that was the nominal value on paper when it was first announced. And then there's the present value that reflects the amount of the deferrals, which is $460 million, only $460 million.
Right, that's it.
Among friends here.
Yeah, not
a relative bargain.
Yeah.
But I think that there are, along those lines, when you think about it, it seems to me that there's a fairly high likelihood that Juan Soto is going to be able to claim some kind of a record once he signs his deal. Because, to your point, he's already turned down an astronomical number.
Right.
Now he's a free agent. And if we're going to be technical about it, the way in which the Players Union or MLB would calculate out a contract with Soto, if it has either no or very few deferrals, is the bar to clear at 460, I think, is a fairly, I'm not going to say easy, because it's just a massive amount of money, but he's going to move past that number. I think that a lot of people agree with that. So he'll probably get, or almost certainly, I would say, in my estimation, he'll get his number will be bigger than 460. The question is, will it be bigger than 700?
Right.
And there's obviously a pretty big spread between 460 and 700.
Sure.
But I think that it will, his numbers will likely come in somewhere in that range, to where it will not surprise anybody in the industry if his deal is around the neighborhood of $600 million. I just think that's I hesitate to say those words because they're just so massive.
Sure.
But Chris, I just think when you look at where things are trending, how young he is, what Aaron Judge got. And by the way, I know it was a topic earlier on that
the Yankees can't pay more.
How would Aaron Judge feel if Aaron Judge feel if Soto got more? To me, that is honestly an absurd thing to even wonder about. Because let's be clear on this, Chris.
Yeah.
If Aaron Judge, and I've gotten to know Aaron a fair amount over the years of covering him,
mm-hmm.
and what a first-class person he is and what a team-oriented person he is, there's zero chance that he would have said to Hal or to Cash, hey, listen, yeah, feel free to pursue him, but he better not get a penny more than me. That's absurd.
I agree.
He would never say that.
I agree.
And by the way, if that was how he felt,
mm-hmm.
this battle would be over before it even started, because
right.
they wouldn't have a chance.
No, of course.
So it just, the whole thing is so absurd, and I think that narrative during the season just made no sense to me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And the idea that it would somehow, like, we all understand how free agency works. The next guy gets more. He's hitting the market 5 years younger than Aaron Judge did. And right. I guess there's some thought that inside the team it would create, how do you pay the captain less than somebody else? Like, all of a sudden, the Yankees wouldn't know who their leader is. It's just preposterous. I agree with you. They want to win, and Aaron Judge wants to win, especially off of this World Series where he quite literally dropped the ball in the fifth inning. So I would imagine that's what he's looking to do and not be the highest paid Yankee. But since we're talking about money and we're talking about Yankees, Hal Steinbrenner always comes up with that. And again, we're talking with John Morosi of MLB Network. When you get into where the Yankees are right now, and Hal Steinbrenner has talked about that you don't have to spend more than $300 to build a championship team, that last threshold, if I'm correct, is somewhere around $304 million before. I mean, I think we all understand. I think the initial one is $244. I don't think we all understand he's got to be willing to go over that. But if you look at Juan Soto and what he has to get, or even if Juan Soto isn't here, do you see any set of circumstances, whether how far they go to get Juan Soto or how many holes they feel they need to fill? Is there any set of circumstances you could see the Yankees, even if they know it's a short-term thing when they might get LeMahieu's money off the books or Stan's money off the books in the next few years, will the payroll of the New York Yankees exceed that 304 final threshold in the luxury tax?
Well, it could, certainly, and the first threshold is $241 million.
Right.
That's the lowest one, and then, of course, it goes up from there. I think that the Yankees need to probably make a really discerning call here, which mm-hmm. is what matters the most to us. Is it fielding the best possible conceivable team? Now, listen, everybody's got a budget, and we're not playing fantasy baseball here.
Right.
But there are some decisions that they can make that will allow them to save some money on certain positions. But the reason why I think getting to that $300 million level is possible, Chris, is that just re-signing Juan Soto cannot be the only move they make.
Right.
It's certainly they've already brought back Gerrit Cole. But let's get back to the very basics of this and say the following. They were not good enough to win the World Series this year, or at least they didn't win the World Series
right.
this year, I should say. And so they need to bring back Juan Soto
plus
to just be as good as they were when they weren't good enough.
Right.
Right?
I get you.
And oh, by the way, Torres is a free agent.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do at first base?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of really interesting decisions for them to make. Now, the one thing you could say in terms of ways they could save money, I actually had a really nice conversation with a player who was in the Arizona Fall League this fall, who told me that Caleb Durbin, the young infielder for the Yankees, has been dynamite out there. And in his view, is someone that can and should have a major league position right away. Now, I tend to think that that's a correct assessment, that at some point, and by the way, he's 24 years of age. It's not like he's 20. So he's about at the age that you would expect him to be at to be able to make an impact. But I think we have to realize this. that for the New York Yankees and performing for this team as a young rookie right away, it's not as easy as it is for a lot of other organizations. And I think Volpe has had a solid start to his career. He's been very durable. He's missed only a handful of games in 2 years. But you look at it, he struck out 323 times through his first two seasons. His batting average for his career is .228. It's not always easy, and in fact, it rarely is. So while I like the idea of Durbin coming in and being part of this team, and that will save you some money on the second base position, I think that you're asking a lot. If your double play combo ends up being Durbin and Volpe, there's a lot of youth there, and I think that you have to ask yourself what kind of veteran production you're surrounding them with, especially at first base. They need more at first base.
I totally agree with you, because if you look at it, they could build through the middle of this team with a lot of youth. You got Wells at catcher. You could theoretically have Dominguez in center, and you just mentioned Durbin in second and Volpe at short. I mean, that's how you keep it under $300 million. You pay stars and have youth sprinkled throughout the team. I agree, and you could even have Jazz at third base. I agree with you that first base is the position. I think we saw from Ben Rice what he is. I don't know if he's somebody I'd be comfortable giving the starting first base opening day job to. So let's just real quick, before we get to the Mets, I want to ask you about Pete Alonso. Where's the Christian Walker? Because where is first base overall? I think he's the name that most people have heard of, and certainly, like you mentioned, I think someone they'll absolutely target if no Soto. But I think there are Yankee fans I've talked to, and I feel this way. If it's Soto and Walker, you feel pretty good about it. So I think Christian Walker's someone they're in on. What's the Walker market sound like, and what do you think those numbers end up being like?
I love Christian Walker, too. And one of the reasons why I like him a lot is because he would probably only cost you 3 to 4 years based on what his age is.
Was he 34,
Walker. Exactly. Yeah. For me, Chris, I compare Walker to what Rizzo was when the Yankees first got him, in terms of the relative productivity for Rizzo. And I know there are certainly critics based on how Rizzo's career with the Yankees ended.
Yeah.
But he was a pretty productive player.
No doubt.
If you go back to the 2022 season, he has an OPS plus of 130, so he's 30% above average. He hit 32 home runs. Walker maybe won't necessarily give that level of consistent home run power, but he is a well above average hitter, and he's an excellent defender.
Yeah.
And so he's got a 3-time Gold Glove Award winner. This past year, he hit 26 homers for the Diamondbacks, and more of a, certainly it's a ballpark where the ball travels. And so I think that's probably around there, maybe 25, 20, 28 in the high 20s for home runs for him is a fair expectation. He did drive in 103 runs in 2023 when they went to the World Series. So he's just a really good athlete, all-around player. Mm-hmm. And if he ends up being their guy, especially when you consider, to your point, he'll enter next year in his age 34 season, I think he's probably a $20 million a year player at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
He just got the qualifying offer, which is almost definitionally in that area. So I would expect he's a 3, maybe even a 4 times low 20s type of a player, whether it's 3 times 23, maybe someone puts an option there for a fourth year. But the fact that he's 34, I think, limits the number of years. And that is probably a healthy place for the Yankees to live, given that if they go with Soto, it's going to have to be an extraordinary contract for a tremendous.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Long period of time.
Right. All right. We're talking to John Morosi of MLB Network. Real quick before we let you go, let's get to the Mets. Obviously, we talked about their pursuit of Juan Soto And obviously, they also have Pete Alonso. We talked about first base. Pete Alonso, whether or not they bring Pete Alonso back after rejecting the contract that I don't think he'll get again in free agency. But they're rumored to be at the top of the market for Burns. They're rumored to be all in. Their money situation is a little different. They have a lot more coming off the books after Verlander and Scherzer are no longer going to be part of the money that they've had to put out here. So where do we see the Mets as far as Alonso? And is there a world where you could see the Mets doing all of that? Soto, Alonso, and Burns or Snell, or at the top of the starting rotation market?
I'd be very surprised if the Mets got all three of them.
Okay.
Two of the three would be an extraordinary expense.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose I would point out at this juncture that Juan Soto's agent is Scott Boras.
Mm-hmm.
Corbin Burns' agent is Scott Boras.
Yeah.
And Pete Alonso's agent is Scott Boras. I would also mention that Alex Bregman's agent is Scott Boras and Blake Snell's agent. So Scott's having a big offseason.
Well, he had one last year, and it was an absolute debacle for him. I wonder how he feels about this year, if there's some sort of, I wouldn't say settling scores, but there is some sort of feeling like, I can't have what happened last year. And I don't know if that's good or bad for teams. I don't know if he'll settle for a slightly lesser in fear of what happened with Chapman and Montgomery and Snell and everybody else, which last year was just a horrible year for Scott.
He's got better players this year, Chris.
Yeah, well, Soto is, yeah.
That is a very reassuring thing for Scott. That you're right. Last year was kind of goofy with how long it took Snell to sign and the Montgomery debacle. But it's just a very different moment right now. I think there is. I'll say this, and you certainly you live in New York, so you've got the understanding of the market. But I'll say this: that Mets fans, if they get to Port St. Lucie, and let's say Soto signs with the Yankees, and Alonso signs somewhere else, I think there'd be some disappointment there for Mets fans if they arrived at spring training with neither. And I think Burns would help, but also let's remember they're going to work to bring back Manaea and Severino, who were both really important members of the rotation that got them to the NLCS.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Soto, for me, fits much better in their overall thematic plan for what this organization is going to be for the next decade. Alonso, the major reason why they would bring him back is because he's a popular player and he's been a career-long Met.
Mm-hmm.
Objectively speaking, and this is why baseball is so much fun to study and look at, objectively, if you look at wins above replacement, which is not everything, but it's a useful tool to approximate value, Pete Alonso ranked as the 11th best first baseman in baseball this year.
Yeah.
Now, the home run power is real. The big moments are real. I think WAR does not encapsulate all that he means to the franchise and the clubhouse and the organization and the fans. But David Stearns is a very, very objective and rational person. And I do not believe that he would recommend to Steve Cohen to say, listen, we need to go all in on Alonso for a 7 or 8 year deal when David Stearns looks at these numbers and realizes that 10 first basemen in baseball, including Christian Walker, Nathaniel Lowe, Matt Olson, Michael Bush, Yandy Diaz, Josh Naylor, all rated better than Pete Alonso this past season.
Yeah.
I think that I love Pete as a player. I think he's a first class person who's done a ton of great things for the Mets.
No doubt.
But I don't see David Stearns recommending to Steve Cohen that he give him $200 million. Now, notice I phrased that sentence very intentionally in that Steve Cohen may decide that Steve Cohen wants to do that, and Steve Cohen's the owner, he can do whatever he wants. But I don't imagine that would be David's recommendation. Based on the other available options for the next, because I think Pete Alonso is still going to be a very productive player for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, honestly.
Yeah.
But if it ends up being having to be a 7 or 8 year deal, David might say, listen, Steve, we could probably use our money a little smarter on other players.
Yeah, I agree with you because, like, Stearns has talked about a couple times, yes, we have the flexibility, but we don't want to do things that hamstring us. And I just can't imagine he's talking about a 26-year-old Hall of Fame superstar. I think he's talking about Pete Alonso and players like that when he's talking about hamstringing the franchise. I definitely agree with you. Well, John, thank you for the time. Oh, I do want to ask you once before we go. You mentioned you were in Taiwan, so we're international here. Roki Sasaki, is this just, I mean, it feels like, and you never want to, you know, because money isn't necessarily an object. Everyone's, you know, pretty much on the same even playing field because of his age and coming to the United States. It's just the international money pool that you can give him. So it's not like any team has an advantage, but it just feels like, especially the way, it felt that Ohtani and I'm losing my train of thought.
Yamamoto,
thank you very much.
Yamamoto kind of
worked this thing out. I know that's probably unfair to say necessarily. We don't know for sure, but it felt that way, that they wanted to play together. They all played on the World Baseball Team. Is this something that is a fait accompli? Is going to be a Dodger or not so fast?
I don't think it's a fait accompli that he's going to be a Dodger. I really don't. I think that, first and foremost, Sasaki, different from Yamamoto, different from Ohtani, he's still a prospect in a lot of ways. He's not a finished product yet. And so he is coming over in a similar setting to the way that Ohtani arrived at the Angels, which, by the way, was a big surprise for a lot of people. People did not expect he was going to be an Angel.
That's true.
And I think what Sasaki will do is, with his representation, Joel Wolf at Wasserman, they'll look at the options and say, okay, which team presents us the best pathway to get to an Ohtani contract or a Yamamoto contract down the line? Because, to your point, his signing bonus is going to be relatively small, $2-4 million. And so it's not about this contract. It's about, where is my best opportunity to develop and to get that big time contract 6 years down the line? Mm-hmm. And that's where it'll be interesting to me. There's a friendship there between Roki and Yu Darvish, who's also a client of Joel Wolf's, and Darvish pitches in San Diego. That's potentially an element there.
Yeah.
You could also look at other teams that are just known for doing a good job with their overall pitching development program.
Right.
And look at it as almost like he's a – consider him as to use the modern verbiage of sports, it's almost like he's this prized – quarterback prospect who's going to go where the NIL situation is good, and go to work with the best offensive coordinator and head coach to get him to the NFL. So it's that idea. This is not his forever home necessarily.
Right.
This is the best place to go for this pocket of his development. And I think that's where, sure, could it be the Dodgers? Yeah, but Chris, look at how many of their pitchers break down. So I'm not necessarily sure that the Dodgers have this magic formula to keep all the guys healthy.
Yeah.
Believe me, if the Mets, if the Yankees, if a team that we're not expecting, if a team like the
Cleveland,
Tigers,
who's got right, they've...
track record. Exactly.
Yeah.
So Cleveland, Detroit, these teams that have done a really good job, Milwaukee. I mean, you could almost go down the list of saying which teams have done a good job developing young pitching and keeping it healthy. That sales pitch, I'm much more expecting to be surprised by where Sasaki goes than by where Soto goes. Soto, I think, is likely to be a Yankee or a Met. Sasaki, I'll be honest, I've got no idea who the true favorite is, and I think that's fun for baseball.
Yeah, but he is, you mentioned him as a prospect, final one. You do expect him to come here and be, he is going to be good right away, though. We are expecting, I know he's not a finished, polished, pitcher just yet, but he throws 102 miles an hour. We're expecting him to be something along the lines of a number one or number two starter in almost any rotation in baseball, right? Is that still what we're thinking of him or no?
Correct. You should think of him that way. Think of him like Paul Skeens of 2024.
Okay.
Where his innings might be a little bit curated. They may be a little bit careful and very regimented with his plan. So he will get outs in the major leagues. We saw him carve up good teams in the WBC last year with 102-mile-an-hour fastball. Like he's a major league guy.
Yeah.
But he is a Paul Skeens type of a major league guy. He's a younger guy that's still developing and will require some degree of managing his overall effort in the way that, honestly, Yamamoto, even though he was a much older pitcher, think about all the guys that have come over, whether it's Yamamoto or Senga. The routine in Japan is you pitch once a week, so your innings are going to be a little bit more monitored. And Yamamoto, even though he was basically, he obviously missed some time due to injury, he threw under 100 innings in the regular season. So this is not, do not expect Sasaki to step in and throw 200 innings. It's just right. not, that's not reality based gotcha. On where we're at as an industry. And so I do think he'll have a tremendous time as a first year player, but it's much more of like a Paul Skeens type prospect. Gotcha.
All right. Well, thank you very much, John. I appreciate the time. You were very kind with it. Go have a great broadcast. I really appreciate it. Hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chris. Stay in touch. All the best to you and all the great baseball fans there in New York. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. All right. That was John Morosi. You can catch John weekdays on MLB Network's Hot Stove program, which is at 9 a.m. Plus, you can check out MLB Network's All MLB Award Show live from Vegas this Thursday night at 8 p.m. All right. Quick break. We'll come back. Take your phone calls on that. We'll still talk Giants football, Jets football. Sure. It's all on the table. The Knicks are coming down the stretch here in the fourth quarter of a close game against the 76ers. We can get into that afterwards. And, you know, speaking about the award show there was a little wrinkle I wanted to just bring up, especially now that Jerry Seinfeld had to dig me about the Yankees World Series appearance and how all of a sudden nobody's wearing Yankee hats anymore. I gotta get it from literally Jerry Seinfeld. Amazing. There's a little thing about the American Cy Young that I want to talk about. And the three finalists, and what they have in common. You could figure it out.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.